So, Jesus, the teacher of all Jesus, the teacher of all teachers. You know, the world has many, many teachers that throughout time have stood out, some of them. And those that have stood out, if you remember, if you know, they've preserved their work. We can remember them. Maybe you've had a teacher that was influential on you. We can learn many things from the early teachers, the early philosophers like Plato others, Aristotle, who wrote over 2,000 years ago, yet we can still find their teachings and learn about what they wrote about. So who comes to your mind when you think of a great teacher in the past, maybe in school, maybe in college, and perhaps you've had an outstanding teacher that impressed you in some way, or maybe someone else that told you about a certain teacher, maybe even a Bible teacher, maybe a preacher that you saw that was actually teaching a class and you were very impressed with that. And that's really, really good. But you will not find a teacher who has even come close to the influence and impact that Jesus Christ has had on mankind. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. You know, in the four Gospels, Jesus is referred to as a teacher 45 times. 45 times. And so in John 13, Jesus was teaching a lesson on being humble and serving one another by washing his disciples' feet, if you recall. But then he makes this statement in John chapter 13 and verse 13. This is John 13:13, where he said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." And Jesus truly is the greatest teacher that ever lived. But as great as he was, not even he could teach those who were unwilling to be taught. And so one of Jesus' biggest oppositions in the first century was the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, they had it in their minds that the Messiah would be like Moses and be a national leader who would be of great power, and he would lead the Jews to overthrow the Romans, and that wasn't anything close to what the Lord did. Jesus didn't fit that mold for them because he was just a carpenter, and he had not been in any formal schools, and he didn't finish in the top of his class. And to top it off, he was from Nazareth. You remember what Nathanael said about Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Remember in John chapter 1 and 46? Since Jesus didn't fit their idea of the Messiah, they refused to be taught by him. The scribes and the Pharisees were not the only ones who thought the Messiah would usher in a physical kingdom, because even Jesus' disciples thought this as well. And not only that, there are groups of people today, religious groups, that feel the same way, that he's going to come and he's going to usher in a physical kingdom even today. Even today. They just didn't understand at that time that Jesus' kingdom was a spiritual one. And when Jesus was being questioned by Pilate about him being a king, see, that's what Pilate was concerned about. And so when he's questioned by Pilate, Jesus answered him in John 18 and 36, and Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now," he says, "my kingdom is not from here." And that was the only thing that concerned Pilate at the time. So Pilate didn't see him as a threat after that. He wanted to let him go. But that was not the case. Jesus, the teacher beyond compare. You see, Jesus, he did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. Instead, he came to call mankind to repent and to save themselves by breaking the bond of sin and destroying death. He fulfilled his goal by obeying the perfect will of God and fulfilling the law. Jesus says this very thing to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. If you want to go there with me, Luke 24 and 44. This is Luke 24 and 44. And Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Jesus is the most important teacher we could listen to because his words are spirit and life, says John 6 and 63. And they teach us the truth which is able to set us free from sin, which he said in John 8, 32, and lead us into eternal life. And this is why Jesus is a teacher without compare. Now, I do need to let you know that even in this building tonight, we have a couple of retired teachers. And I'm sure you, as retired teachers, have made an influence. Have made an influence on maybe on some of your students. Maybe you've even had a chance to preach to some of your students. We don't know. But maybe you made a good impact on one of your students, or maybe on some of them. And they'll always remember you for that. Margarita was just sharing with me the other day that you saw somebody at HEB or somewhere. "Hey, Mr. Rodriguez," he remembered him from years and years ago. And that's when you make an impact on somebody. But Jesus, he was able to set us free from so many things, so much confusion. His words are words of life. And they're words that will lead us to heaven. That's why he said, "My words are spirit. My words are truth." So what we're going to do this afternoon is look at several reasons why Jesus is the teacher beyond compare. He was a teacher who came from God, first of all. He was a teacher who came from God. Now, there were many teachers who God commissioned in the past. And he had his message delivered through prophets, through angels, and he used men like Moses to mediate the old covenant and use John the Baptist, which is the last prophet, under the old covenant to prepare the way for the highest messenger God could ever send, his only begotten son. I just finished mentioning John the Baptist. John the Baptist was mentioned by Isaiah in chapter 40. That's how far back he goes, as far as there's going to be somebody that's going to make way for the Lord, for the Son of God. And so John the Baptist is another one that made a great impact on people, and we know that. But he said, "It's not me that you should focus on. It's not me, because I'm not even worthy of tying his shoes." So while it's true that these prophets before Jesus were inspired by God, but none of them were inspired, none of them were deity like Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." Yes, this is the teacher that I'm talking to you about tonight. "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." We learn several things about these verses here. First of all, starting in verse 4, we see that he is now better than the angels. And in verse 3, that by himself he purged our sins. by himself. He didn't need anybody else's help. You see that? Jesus by himself was the ultimate sacrifice, like Brother Frank just finished praying about in the Lord's Supper. By himself, he purged out our sins. But notice verse 2, right there where we're at. Jesus is heir of all things, and he made the worlds. Yeah, this is who teaches us every single time we open the scriptures. We want to learn more and more about Jesus. And you know what? We sing about this. We sing about wanting to know more and more about Jesus. This means that he was there in the very beginning, creating the world, because he's part of the Godhead. And when I say in the very beginning, what I mean by beginning is before time was. So, John 1:1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. John chapter 1, and God, now go to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, said John, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My good people, only Jesus was full of grace and truth. He's the only one. This is why Jesus is the teacher of all teachers. You notice that I'm not saying Jesus was. No, Jesus was not. Jesus is. Jesus is the teacher of all teachers, because he came from the Father. And he is the Son of God. And he was with God from the very beginning. You see, Jesus had abilities that others did not. For instance, he could read the hearts of men. The prophets couldn't do that. Moses couldn't do that. He could read the hearts of men. He could tell what they needed to hear in order to persuade them to believe. He also could tell when people were being dishonest and trying to trap him in his words. And this is why Jesus is a teacher beyond compare. So why? Why is he a teacher beyond compare? Because his words are eternal. And that's why we focus on his words so much. And those of you learning, barely learning about Jesus, you need to pay attention to what the Lord says, because his words will take you to heaven. He says, you truly are my disciples. You truly are mine if you keep my commands. How are we going to keep his commands if we don't know them? Whenever Jesus would speak, he always spoke with authority. Always. And he told the truth in every situation. And he did not give opinions or theories as mankind does. This one preacher said that our opinions are like armpits. We all have them and they all stink. I thought that was funny. But it was funny coming from a preacher, though. And so you see that this simply is not the case when it comes to Jesus. Jesus' words, they did not change because they're eternal. His words never change. Let's take a look at a couple of passages that describe how important the words of Jesus are. John 6 and 63. John chapter 6 in verse 63. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And he said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Yes. That's why we must pay attention to the Master, We must listen to Jesus. And he's not going to speak to us through a dream or in a vision. That ain't going to happen. We have that which is perfect, the written word. We just need to cling on to it. We need to hold on to it. Right there, go to John chapter 8 and verse 31 and verse 32. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, because not all of them did, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. I just finished quoting that earlier. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, we know John 8, 32. But we need to go back to verse 31 so we can understand why Jesus said that. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall, because you're abiding in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus is teaching us, if you want to learn about eternal life and how to be set free from sin, we have to listen and live by his words. Now look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start reading in verse 35. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. How long have the heavens and the earth been around? Thousands of years. Thousands, not millions, like people say. Thousands of years. I see Julie laughing. Thousands of years. No other words have such power as the words of Jesus. That is why Paul said in Romans 1:16, you probably know this, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, and neither am I, by the way. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone, not for some, for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also the Greek. So here's why we should pay close attention to his words. Back, please, to John chapter 12. John, the Gospel of John chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 48. We're talking about Jesus, the teacher beyond compare. John chapter 12, I'm going to start reading in verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, he said, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this, his command, is everlasting life. Therefore, he said, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So this makes it even more important. Why? Because the words that Jesus spoke were coming directly from the Father. And he said, you can't get to the Father but through me. So, yeah, Jesus is telling you and I that if we reject his words, we are rejecting him. And when the day of judgment comes, it will determine whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell. And we will be judged by his words. God has given us free will. And it's up to us, it's up to you and I to choose how we're going to live our lives. But if we want to find ourselves in heaven, we need to do our best to follow the teachings of Jesus. This makes him the teacher beyond compare. Jesus lived what he taught. He lived what he taught. It's one thing to teach what is right, but living by what you teach is something else. I wish I could stand here and tell you that everything I teach, I do it perfectly, but that simply is not the case. I'm human. I fail from time to time. I'm human. And so even the Apostle Peter struggled with practicing what he preached. Let me give you an example. Notice what he taught, this is Peter, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth, this is Acts 10 and 34. He opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. And we see what was happening here. God was accepting the Gentiles. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. You see that? Okay. Now take a look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. And we'll see that Peter was not living up to what he taught. So here we are in Galatians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So you see, even faithful Christians like Peter didn't always live up to what they taught. And this is what makes Jesus stand out from the crowd, because he was always living what he taught. No one, in no way, in not one time did he fail to live a righteous life. And we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 4 and 15 says. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So you see, brethren, Jesus never failed to live what he preached. Never. I believe Jesus demonstrated this very well in the last hours of his life. We all know that he was falsely accused, he was scourged, he was beaten, he was mocked while hanging on the tree. And in this whole ordeal, it went on through. He went through all this and he didn't resist it. He didn't resist evil. He didn't try to return evil for evil. Instead, with the last bit of energy that he had, remember? In Luke 23, when he said, Father, forgive them. Thank you, brother. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we know who followed his example, don't we? And so our second example here is one of the hardest teachings that Jesus ever spoke. If you'd like, please follow me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. Matthew 5 and 43. Here we have Jesus with his Sermon on the Mountain. And he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Yeah, that's what the world says. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, brethren, there's a lesson here for us that I'm just thinking of right now, and I want to mention it to you. I want you to notice how it says, do good to those who hate you. How am I going to do good to those who hate me if I don't want to be around those who hate me? Did you see that? We must go to those people who don't like us. We must try to give them a chance to give us a chance to do good to them. Somehow, maybe, just maybe, we can gain them to Christ. You know, we even have family members that might hate us. We need to go to them. He says, go and do good to those who hate you. And I thought to myself, well, how could I do that if I'm not around people who hate me? I don't want to be around people who hate me. And Jesus says, you need to be. You need to be, because that's what he did. So while I know that we find this difficult to do today, Jesus demonstrated this kind of love by dying on the cross for all of us, for everyone. I'm going back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This is Romans 5 and 6. For scarcely, verse 7 says, for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. That's the kind of love that only God can demonstrate. Only God. And again, this makes Jesus a teacher beyond compare. My final reason for tonight, why Jesus is a teacher of all teachers, beyond compare, comes from his unique style of teaching. First of all, Jesus never made a mistake. We make mistakes when we teach. We make mistakes when we preach. That's a given. We're human. But the Lord, he never made a mistake. Never. In his teaching, despite many attempts of the scribes and Pharisees to trip his words or whatever, he never, never did it. Luke chapter 11 and verse 53 says, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him, it says, vehemently, and to cross-examine him about many things. Lying in wait, it says. Lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something that he might say that they might accuse him. You see, they didn't want to learn from him. This is Luke 11, in case you're still looking for it. Luke 11 and 53. They weren't wanting to learn from him. They were seeking to attack him. They wanted him gone. No matter how many times they tried to catch him and making a mistake, they never could. In fact, in Matthew 22 and 46 tells us that they finally gave up and they didn't ask him any more questions. They couldn't do it. They could not handle the Lord. So, second of all, Jesus spoke without hesitation, without having to consult with someone, nothing. Let's look at an example. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. And it says, testing him. See,